Bibles this morning to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 35. A sermon entitled, Come and See. How many know that you and I this morning have a lot of things that people need to see? But the most important thing that they can ever see is not a thing per se, but it is Jesus. And here in our text, it starts with John the Baptist. In verse 35, it says, again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following us, said to them, What do you seek? They said to him, Rabbi, which is to say, when translated, teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, Come and see. They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who had heard John speak and follow him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, We have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, Follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, and the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, We have found him whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said, Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, How do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said to him, Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Come and see. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus, we ask you, Father, this morning to help us to understand everything, God, that is found in you, Lord. We ask you, Father, to let that spirit be in us that we can bring others to come and see what you are doing, Father. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. See, I remember when I came here to Colorado Springs, I noticed that there was something strange outside. You know, I'm 54 years old, and I had never to that point seen a black squirrel. I don't know about you, but black squirrels, I have never seen one anywhere else other than Colorado Springs. See, the squirrels that I have always been accustomed to were brown. I asked one of the gentlemen, he said, the reason why they're black is because they are the head of that tree. I said, okay. But that is something that I had never seen in my life. It was such a strange phenomenon that I took pictures of it and I sent it to my family. And they said, nah, we don't believe you. I said, let me take this picture and I'm going to send it to you so you can see it for yourself. So what I did is I got some crackers and I put some crackers right outside of the door. And as that squirrel came, amen, I came and I took a picture. See, I gave them the crackers so that I can take a close-up view. It was something that was very intriguing. And I would just, for days, I would just go out there after I did my studies, and I would just stand out there, and I would be looking for that black squirrel. And then I noticed that there was like two or three more. And I said, there's a family. See, when you and I see something, a black squirrel might not be something that is out of the ordinary to you, but whatever is out of the ordinary to you, you want to share what, amen, you have found with others. How many know that? One of my brothers was as Doubting Thomas. He didn't say, unless I put my hand through the wounds of Jesus, but he said, unless I see a picture of it, and I took the picture. See, here in our text, we're going to see that it talks about come and see. Here it is. It was a few people, amen, that were involved. In the middle of this passage, we see where Philip tells Nathanael, come and see. Ask yourself this morning, how important is it for your family and your friends? How important are they to you? How many times have you found yourself standing or, amen, getting in the middle of a situation when something was going on with somebody in your family? See, no doubt every single one of us this morning, we have found ourselves standing up for somebody that we know. Whether somebody was getting in a fight and you're like, that's not my fight. But because you knew them, how many know that now it became your fight? Well, that's the way it is to me. If they were in danger, how many know this morning that you would do anything within you to try to rescue them? And there's no doubt this morning that your family and your friends are of the utmost importance to you. When something good happens, they are the first ones, amen, that you find yourself tell you what I found. Amen. You find yourself sending them the news. You find yourself, sending them your findings. You find yourself, sending them the first notice of what you have found. Have we sent our family the notice of what Jesus Christ is on her life? See, what we see in our text this morning is a story of people reaching out and sharing something good to those that are the closest to them. John the Baptist made sure that he shared the good news with those that were around them. Andrew made sure. His brother Simon, later to be known as Peter. Philip made sure Nathanael found out about something good. Can I tell you, when you found the good thing, you found a good thing, baby. How many know that?
That was a song.
See, what was good that these men encountered? All three of these men had their own encounter with Jesus. All three ran into someone like they've never met in their lives before. This person, that they encountered rocked their world so much that they couldn't keep it to themselves. They had to go and tell somebody. How many here this morning have had such a wonderful encounter with Christ? How many more, agree that this is the best thing that has happened to you? How many this morning have told your family and friends that this is important to you? See, for most people, talking about Jesus to those that are closest to them is something that is complicated in a sense. For some strange reason, it's very hard to do. You and I can sit, and can I tell you, we can talk about those black squirrels. We can talk about the weather. You can talk about politics. You can talk about your deepest secrets. But talking about Jesus is something that is difficult. It is something that normally or very often doesn't come up. We don't want to be pushy. What can I tell you? The devil is pushy towards you and I. See, you don't want to appear like you're pushing something on them. You don't want to seem religious. You are scared of what they're going to say or whether you're going to say the right things. You're afraid of rejection. Can I tell you, my family, there is one brother that continually tells me, how can you tell me that you've changed if I knew the way you were? And you know what I tell him? I said, you just made more sense than anything I could have said. Because you said the way I was totally different than the way I am today. So he talks for me, even though he's trying to talk against me. See, you're afraid that you are going to be rejected. for whatever reason, we have the most difficult conversation about Jesus with those that are the closest to us. See, my hope this morning is that this text can break that struggle from our lives and unleash that is already in us. To be able, amen, to see that those, as we see in our text, John the Baptist told, amen, his two disciples, those were very close to him, amen. Andrew told his brother, amen, and Philip told Nathanael. Can I tell you, beloved, we have to be able to have these conversations with people that we are closely associated with. See, each one had their own encounter with Jesus. Each person had experienced Jesus, amen, personally for themselves. John the Baptist, amen, he baptized Jesus and pronounced him as the Lamb of God. Andrew had spent the day with Jesus. Philip, amen, had been found and was called by Jesus. And every one of these, amen, followed him. If you call yourself a Christian this morning, you have had your own personal experience firsthand in a personal manner with Jesus. Being a Christian is not about, amen, being religious, but it's about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can tell your friends, your family about programs. How many know that? You can tell them about different organizations. You can tell them about all kinds of different things, the places of amusement. You know, we went to Top Golf the other day. We had a great time. But you know, I used that to be able to tell people about Jesus. Amen. Because my good time memories were never memories at all when I was in the world. But now I tell people that we can go and we can have the greatest time of our lives and still be in Christ. How many know that this morning? See, every single one this morning had their own place. But people this morning, they want to see that we just don't talk about it, folks. Listen, you're going to hear me. You're going to hear that phrase time and time and time again. Because people want to see that Jesus is alive in our lives. They want to see something real. They need a hope. When I talked to this man yesterday in outreach, he said, I'm a combat veteran, and I can smoke pot if I want to, and if that makes me happy, it makes me happy. I said, do you have joy in your life? He says, well, I'm happy right now. Can I tell you, folks, happiness is going to change. You're not going to be happy all the time, but you can still have joy in your life. Amen? Now, I'm not telling you to go out there and not have, Jesus in your life, but listen, you're not always going to be happy, but you will have the joy of God in you. See, by your personal relationship with Jesus, it is going to get people's attention. As you go around the city, as you see, amen, the transit system, as you see the billboards, the signs, amen, they are there for advertisements. Can I tell you, people are trying to get your attention. Why can we not get people's attention in Christ? You know, you see an advertisement about Doritos. Man, that Dorito bag sure does look good. Guess what you do when you go to the store? You're going straight towards that Dorito, spicy nacho. Amen? That Coke just seems so refreshing, and it's sizzling. Tastes so good, doesn't it? How many right now you want to get a Coke? Amen? Rachel's like, yeah, that tastes, that's so good right now. You see a McDonald's commercial, you want to go get that Big Mac. You see Domino's truck going by. Let's get a pizza tonight. See, what you saw is drawing you towards that advertisement. See, if you and I, amen, if we want to, can I tell you, those advertisements are selling you that product. Why do you think they pay between five and $10 million in the Super Bowl? Because they know that if you see it enough, guess what you're going to go buy? We don't sell Jesus. But can you and I, amen, let people come and see Jesus, that Jesus is alive in you this morning? See, it is our personal experience this morning that is going to get people's attention. Can I tell you, so many people are pushed away because they've been hurt by religion. How many here, be honest, raise your hand if you at one point in your life you were hurt by religion. Can I tell you this morning? It takes a miracle of God to get you back. Because you do not want to get hurt again. See, if we are going to get people's attention, folks, then you and I this morning, we have to have and be able to tell people that they can come and see because Jesus touched our lives. See, let your life be a reflection of the encounter that you had, amen, with Jesus. You're not going to be perfect. Can I tell you? 100 people out of 100 people are surveyed if they were going to be perfect, and they said no. You and I will mess up. But overall, folks, our lives should reflect more and more of the day when you encounter Jesus Christ personally. See, that experience, amen, needs to be shared. They shared what happened to them. They didn't make it complicated. How many know that you and I can mess up a good thing? All they told them was their testimony about what happened when they came and saw Jesus. John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Andrew said, "We found the Messiah." Philip said, "We found the one that everyone is looking for." They didn't come and say, "When you get saved, you're going to have to change your life immediately. And if you don't, get out." Because how many know that we've said that? "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." How many know that that's simple? That's how we need to keep it, folks. See, every one of us have a testimony. And sometimes that testimony can scare you and I, because it says who we really were. You were a junkie. What? I'm not no more, but you were. You were addicted. You had all the addictions. Amen. That was you and I. We don't want to tell people that. We just want to tell them who we are now. And that testimony can truly scare us. But can I tell you, it really brings out a point of what Jesus Christ has truly done in each and every one of us. We need to tell them the reason of why our lives changed. John the Baptist told his disciples. Andrew took Peter and Philip told Nathanael to come and see. Each one of these people, amen, did what they were supposed to. Amen. Now it was up to those to be able to see and now tell others, "Come and see who I have met." After they were confronted with Jesus, the ones that brought people, can I tell you, could do no more. See, this morning, we need to do everything and all things to bring those that we love to come and see. Come and see. See, they in turn will make up their decisions, and then, amen, they will bring others to come and see the one that changed their lives. As I close, as you and I reflect, we have to live our lives like we are changed. "Pastor, but I can live my life how I want." Then is Jesus reflected in the way that you live? How many know that you can tell me you're a Christian, but you show me you're a Christian tells me more. Amen? If you tell me you're a plane, unless I see you fly, am I going to believe you? You know, not to get off topic, but the other day I saw a Cadillac, and he said, and the Cadillac had a sign that says, "I identify myself as a Lamborghini." I said, "Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus." I said, "How am I going to tell people that one? It can't be a Lamborghini because it's a Cadillac." You can't tell people you are something if you're not. See, if you and I are going to tell people to come and see, we have to be able to show them and guide them to the one that can change our lives. See, we will show in a few things. We will show in our life, our actions, and what we talk about the most. We need to take advantage of the opportunities at hand. When I went to Honduras 2 years ago, 3 years ago, one of the men that go to the church there in Comayagua, his name is Jesus, like me. He's an elderly man. And he was talking to a young man that was 25 years old. And as Mr. Jesus was talking to him, you can see that he was very drunk, the other young man, 25-year-old. Very, very drunk. Mr. Jesus took advantage and he told him, he said, come to church with me. Come to church with me. The young man said, no, I don't want to go to church. Mr. Jesus went to church. He came back to where that young man was, and he got the news that he had passed away. He slipped, he fell, stepped into eternity. See, we don't know when people are going to have another opportunity to hear it. That's why it's so important, folks. Listen to me. We have to take advantage of the opportunities at hand, so that people can come and see the one that can save our lives. See, they should notice the love of God that you now have for others. They should notice, that you have more self-control over your temper. When times are difficult and tough, they will not seek others. They will seek you because they know that you have something that they are missing. You can tell them how they are able to hold on and withstand the pressures that are upon them. You tell them where your strength and endurance comes from, and that it's amazing that they said nothing good comes out of where? Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Jesus came out of Nazareth. The best thing ever in life. You tell them that Jesus loves them. You know, yesterday when I was talking to a lady, I didn't witness to her. All I said is, Jesus loves. But it got her attention. Jesus died for them. And he is offering unconditional forgiveness and eternal life. Will you allow the Spirit of God this morning to work? See, if this is something very important to you, let's invite those that we care for to come and see what Jesus Christ can do in their lives. Let me have every head bowed and every eye closed. Can we allow God this morning to touch people's lives? Can we allow the Lord to help others? But before God can touch everybody else, can he touch your life this morning? Can Jesus Christ do the miracle? If you're not saved this morning, can you and I be in Christ? You're here this morning, you're not saved. You're here this morning, you're not right with God. It's the greatest miracle in life, the salvation of our soul. And this morning, we need to come and see the one that can offer everything that we have ever hoped or thought of. And his name is Jesus. You're here this morning, you're not saved, and you want to accept Jesus Christ into your life. Would you simply do one thing? Would you lift up your hand? Lift it up. Amen. Maybe you're backslidden in your heart and you're not right with God this morning. Just like I said, religion has hurt people. Jesus Christ wants that relationship with you. He can heal the wounds of whatever caused you to walk away. And he can touch, restore, and bring forth a new life in you once again. If that is you, you are backslidden in your heart, but you want to accept Jesus back into your life, would you simply do one thing? Would you lift up your hand? I want to pray for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Church, simple message. Come and see. John took his disciples. Andrew took his brother, Simon. Philip took Nathaniel. Can I tell you, the stories are still being written because we need to bring people to Jesus. There's so many people that we know that for whatever reason, we have strayed away from telling them. Maybe we're intimidated. I don't know how I'm going to say it. I don't know the words to say. Can I tell you? Everything starts when we come to the altar and we ask God to give us help. Because he is our help in time of need. Maybe you are struggling. Can it be this morning that God gives you that encouragement to be able to tell those that we love, come and see, and I can show you the one that changed my life forevermore. The altar is open. Come, lay hold of God this morning. Come, lay hold of God this morning. Amen. Maybe it's your boss. Maybe it's your brother or sister. Maybe it's your friend, your coworker. I want to tell them, but I'm intimidated. I want to tell them, but I'm scared. I want to be able, but I don't know how. Can you ask God this morning to help you bring those that are closest to you to the love of God? Come and see the one that can truly change your life forevermore. They can come and meet Jesus. The Jesus that changed your life. And it is when we do that, that now their lives will change. Can I tell you, when you go to conference, for those that are going, or if you watch it on live stream, every single one of those people, I am here today because somebody told my wife, and my wife told me to come and see the one that can change my life forevermore. And I'm here today standing before you because my wife didn't hold back. She brought me to Jesus. Let's bring people to Jesus. We don't want to bring them to a program. We don't want to bring them to rules and regulations. We want to bring them to Jesus. Why not? If he changed our lives. Amen? Why not? God is there, and he's the one that changes everything. Amen? He is. Let's come and tell people about the one that changed our lives. And let's make that the first priority. Can I tell you, I can care less who wins the next Super Bowl. I can care less who wins the NBA championship, the hockey, or whatever else. Who's going to be the next concert here in town? Is that going to bring people to Jesus? If it doesn't, then let's talk about something else. Amen? Let's bring people to the knowledge of who Jesus is and what he can do in people's lives. Amen. Mr. Nixon, do you want to close us in prayer? Amen. God bless you.